Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you, knowing that you are our rescuer. You have paid the price. You have made the way so that we might be saved. And Lord, we're so thankful. And particularly on this Wednesday night, this Ash Wednesday night, we are thankful for the eternal hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that through your word and by your spirit, you would speak to our hearts, that you would transform us by the renewing of our minds, and you would remind us just how far you've brought us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. For it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, today is Ash Wednesday, and you're not going to be able to open your Bible and find, here's what you do on Ash Wednesday, because much like Advent, Ash Wednesday leads us into a season of preparation. Advent is that season of preparation that leads us to the celebration of Jesus' birth at Christmas, and then Lent is that season of preparation that helps us understand the depth of what God did for us through the cross of Good Friday and the joyous celebration of the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. And so again, these are more traditional seasons that have been observed by the church, but frankly, there's nothing unbiblical about taking a moment to reflect and to do that over the course of several days, even several weeks. And so Ash Wednesday leads us into a season of reflection, a season of repentance, a season often of fasting and concerted prayer, but a season of preparing ourselves for the greatest truth the world has ever known, that God has come near in Jesus Christ our Lord, and that Jesus has died for us on the cross to pay the full price for our sin. And 3 days later, Jesus arose from the grave, triumphant and victorious over sin and death and Satan and hell. And so we can know, all of us who trust and follow Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we can know that death does not have the final word for us. In Jesus Christ, we have life that is full and abundant and everlasting. And for that, we're so thankful. But on Ash Wednesday, we kind of observe more of a somber tone. You may be wondering why I have this beautiful goblet here. Well, this actually came out of my office. This is a pewter goblet that I picked up over 2 decades ago in Salzburg, Austria. I had gone with my college football team to go play an Austrian professional team, and they beat us really, really bad. But we had a lot of fun while we were over there. But one of the things that I picked up was this pewter goblet that is ornate, it is beautiful, it is decorative, and I keep it in my office. But one of the things that I've always used this for is the celebration of Ash Wednesday and the imposition of ashes. Inside this goblet are ashes. And I keep this in my office on a prominent shelf as a reminder to me that it really doesn't matter how beautiful the outside is if the inside is filled with death, filled with destruction, filled with the remains, in this case, of wood that has been burned, and frankly, palm branches, honestly, that have been burned for the celebration of Ash Wednesday. So I wanted to bring this to our worship service tonight as a reminder that what God looks at is the inside. All we can look at is the outside, but God looks at the inside. Well, Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent invites all of us to look on the inside. And we're not prescribing that you do anything. But if you choose to take this time and to take this season to reflect, perhaps even to fast something in order that you might use that time to focus in prayer and in God's Word, what a blessing that could be. But I wanted to kind of give you a foundation for that. And so I want to give us 4 points tonight, but the theme of our message is this: to understand the good news of Jesus Christ, we must remember the bad news about us. To understand the good news of Jesus Christ, we must remember the bad news about us. 4 points. And the first is this: God created human beings from the dust of the ground. God created human beings from the dust of the ground. And I'll remind you from Genesis chapter 2, let's read verses 4 through 9 as we hear this account of how human beings were created, how the first human being was created. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there we have the account of the creation of Adam, the first man, the first human being. And we know that Eve came, taken from the rib, taken from Adam's side, and was the crowning glory of creation. But we remember that we were taken from the dust of the ground. God formed us from the dust of the ground and breathed into us the breath of life. Our second point is this. As a result of the fall, the life that was crafted from dust must to dust return. As a result of the fall, the life that was crafted from dust must to dust return. Let me read to you what God spoke in Genesis chapter 3. This is after the fall, and this is God speaking to Adam after he and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit. And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The result of the fall for human beings was death. And the result of the fall for all of creation was death. And therefore, we often say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That we who were formed from the dust of the ground will to dust return. And that is a result of sin. That is a result of the sin that happened in Genesis chapter 3. And that's a difficult reality that we have to face. But you know it's pervasive. They've done studies. 10 out of 10 people die. And that means that I will die. That means that you will die. But for those of us who are in Christ Jesus our Lord, we understand that we have a hope that transcends even that physical death that we must endure. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But for now, our third point is this. Life in a sin-fallen world is filled with sorrow. Life in a sin-fallen world is filled with sorrow. Now, you may be thinking right now, "Preacher, I tuned in to be encouraged. Why are you talking about life being filled with sorrow?" Well, because it doesn't do us any good to lie to ourselves. And we know that life gets hard. In fact, it gets hard for everybody. There is nobody who has a purely easy life. You know, the old adage is that if we all got together and laid our problems on the table and got to take any problem we wanted from the table, that most of us would take back our own problems because we recognize that everybody has something. Well, in the 90th Psalm, the psalmist gives us a sense that life on this earth can be sorrowful. Listen to these timeless words. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, 'Return, O children of man.' For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening, it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. It's kind of hard to read. It's kind of hard to be reminded that in this world we face trouble. But it's the truth, and God wants us to deal in the truth. And perhaps tonight, as you've joined in with this worship experience, you're facing sorrow. You're facing trouble now. Well, I want you to know that even though there are TV preachers who would lie to you and say, if you just trust Jesus, everything will go smoothly in your life, Jesus himself promised that that would not be the case. In fact, to his disciples in the upper room in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he gave us hope. He gave us hope that our God who transcends this world would give us hope that also transcends this world. For after he said, in this world, you will have trouble, our Lord said this, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And that leads us to our fourth point tonight. Life in Christ is characterized by eternal hope. Life in Christ is characterized by eternal hope. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul writes as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit to the church at Rome, saying this, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And that is our hope in Jesus Christ, that all of us who are in Christ have been crucified with Christ. And as Paul would write to the churches of Galatia, it is no longer we who live, but it is Christ who lives in us. The life that we live in our mortal bodies, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and who gave himself up for us. And that when we come to him in repentance and faith, he does a work of new birth, regeneration in Christ. He brings us to spiritual life, and yes, outwardly, our bodies still age, and we still deal with the effects of living in a sin-fallen world. And one day, should the Lord tarry, our physical bodies will give out. But if you're in Christ, I want you to understand that the hope that you have transcends even your own body's death. For at the moment that your body comes to an end, your spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord. For the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day, as that majestic passage in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, one day when Christ returns, all who have left this earth to go and be with him will be rejoined with their bodies that will be raised imperishable. Just as Jesus has a resurrection body, so also shall we. You know, Jesus' resurrection body was real. It was touchable. Just ask Thomas. And we'll have bodies that are real, that will be touchable. We know that Jesus ate fish. We know that he ate food, and ghosts don't eat food. We will have the same sort of resurrection body glorified by Almighty God. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. So on Ash Wednesday, we take a somber look at ourselves. And during the season of Lent, if you choose to participate in that, it's an invitation for you to lay something aside and to focus yourself on prayer, to focus yourself on the Word of God, to pray along with the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and see if there is any offensive way in me." To pray with the psalmist, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." But also to be reminded of the great hope that you have in Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sin, who died the death we deserve to die in our place to pay in full the debt of sin we owed. But then that the third day rose victoriously from the grave and lives today That's the hope that we have. So if we were to have an in-person Ash Wednesday service, I would invite you to come forward and have ashes imposed on your forehead in the shape of a cross. And I would say, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, but the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. So yes, we were crafted from dust, to dust we shall return. That is a result of the fall, a result of sin. And our lives on this fallen world can be filled with sorrow, but we have a hope that transcends it all, because our God has come near in Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, as we prepare ourselves to look toward Good Friday, to look toward Easter Sunday, we pray that you would help us to look introspectively and by the help of your Spirit, Lord, that you would show us the offensive ways in us. Bring us closer to you than ever before. Make us more like Jesus than ever before. That's what we desire, and we know that's what you desire. And so, Lord, we turn away from wicked ways, recognizing our own mortality, but also knowing that in Jesus Christ, we have life that is full and abundant and everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord. And before we bring our service to an end, Lord, once again, we join together our hearts and our minds and our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight, and we hope you'll join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. as we gather either in person or by virtual means to worship our Lord together. We'll see you then.